Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Some businesses in Juba complain about the government's directives to use local currency for all transactions.
Why should we use our hard currency at the time when we have our national currency? All contracts are supposed to be in national currency, not in dollars.
And three civil society activists are detained in South Sudan.
There was a meeting. So meeting was some people there. We as security. So and Dr. Abraham and Honorable Chan, we are not aware that there is some security there in that meeting. So by the time they reached something like 1 to 2 there, these people have just left. And immediately, the security came and arrested them.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Security operatives in the South Sudan capital have detained Abraham Bankwach, a South Sudanese who recently formed a civil society group known as South Sudan Economic Hardship Nonviolent Activist. The group says it aims to advocate for the control of prices of basic commodities in markets across South Sudan. Deng Quer is Abraham's cousin. Quer says security officials, believed to be from the national security, picked Abraham and two of his colleagues during a meeting in Juba last week. Quer says the three activists are being held at the national security headquarters in Juba. Quer and the other relatives of Abraham are appealing to the government to release Abraham and his two colleagues.
They discuss about the economy of South Sudan, and that was the planning which have put them in trouble. Dr. Abraham, an honorable Shandi Amoy, the spokesman, and the chairman of that group, that man called Dingyo, the chairman of South Sudan Economic Hardship Nonviolent Activists, were arrested.
Do you know who arrested them?
The people who arrested them were those of MI and Major Security.
And where is Abraham right now as I speak to you?
Dr. Abraham right now is in the Blue House. As I'm talking to you now, Dr. Abraham and Honorable Chandu Damoy and the chairman, Dingyo, are in Blue House right now.
How do you know that the people who picked Abraham are members of the national security?
Yeah, there is one of the colleagues who were arrested with them. One called Majok and someone called Angelo Attack. Angelo Attack were arrested with Dr. Abraham and his colleague. And yesterday they leave those people. They leave Majok and Angelo Attack to go. So before morning, Angelo Attack have called me to come to Dr. Rouse's house. So Angelo Attack is the one explaining everything to his wife and to his brother, so that Dr. Abraham is in the Blue House right now.
And since you're saying that the people who picked Abraham are members of the national security, have you spoken to them? Have you made your concerns known to them?
I have called his brother, and his brother went to national security house, but they said that there is no appointment or visiting. So at least you come on Saturday. Again, on Tuesday yesterday, they went again and they said that Dr. Abraham is not around here. They did not bring. There's nobody called Dr. Abraham in Blue House. And these people were lying. Dr. Abraham is there. This morning, the boy called Majok and Angelo came and said that we were in Blue House, but Dr. Abraham is there. Dr. Abraham and Honorable Chan Udamwe are there in Blue House right now.
There are different types of security operatives in Juba. How sure are you that Abraham was picked by members of the national security?
There was a meeting. So meeting was some people there. We as security. So and Dr. Abraham and Honorable Chan, we are not aware that there is some security there in that meeting. So by the time they reached something like 1 to 2 there, these people have just left. And immediately, the security came and arrested them.
At the beginning of this interview, you told me that Abraham is your cousin. Since you're related to Abraham, what would you like to tell the government about this situation?
They have just formed the name called South Sudan Economic Hardship Nonviolent Activity. When we talk about nonviolent, it means that that thing is not a violent. I want to inform those of ship held in the area whereby Dr. Abraham is staying, like the Baldenka, to go and talk to the government. What were they meeting was not a crime and was not a violent. It's a non-violent activist. So we need to call the elders of the village or the area where he's staying to go and talk to the government to release that man.
That's Deng Kwer, a cousin of a detained activist in South Sudan. He spoke to me from Juba earlier today. South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify the circumstances which led to the arrest of the three activists. Some contractors in South Sudan's capital, Juba, are complaining about the government's directives to traders to conduct all transactions in South Sudanese pounds rather than the U.S. dollar. South Sudan's Information Minister Michael Makwe told reporters last week that the government wants all transactions to be paid in local currency, but some contractors say the decision will limit importation of goods into the country. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Minister Makwe said last week the government adopted 34 measures recommended by a committee cabinet appointed 2 weeks ago to look into how to address the country's economic crisis. Among the measures adopted is one ensuring that all transactions are conducted in the local currency, according to Makwe.
All the contracts that are made, even rent of houses, rent of cars, rent of what, everything here in South Sudan is in hard currency. Why should we use our hard currency at the time when we have our national currency? All contracts are supposed to be in national currency, not in dollars.
Lisok Emmanuel, a managing director of the Juba-based Vasti Printing Company, says he welcomes the government's decision to have all transactions conducted in South Sudanese pounds, including contracts.
You know, 4 years ago, there was something similar that was announced, that every transaction has to be done in SSP.
Yes.
Which, me and myself as an individual, I really appreciate that, so that our currency can pick up, so that at least the local person can really make a life. So, but now, everything is our currency. Dollar, 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 dollar. Everything is dollars.
But Emmanuel says the decision limits the ability of business owners like himself to import goods because it restricts their access to hard currency, which he says is in scarce supply in Juba. Emmanuel says it's already proving difficult to deliver services to his clients on time because he can't find hard currency to import some of the supplies his clients require. He says if the government does not enact policies to ensure sufficient supply of dollars for contractors to import goods and services, businesses like his could be forced to shut down. Robert Mbesa is chief executive officer for Trinity Energy, one of the biggest companies investing in South Sudan's petroleum sector. Mbesa embraces the government's role to conduct transactions in pounds, only saying doing business using the local currency is a global practice that strengthens a country's economy. But Mbesha also says the government should enact policies that boost local production.
Invest in the productive capacity, whether it is a factory, whether it is a farm or agro-processing plant, do that and then reduce imports, reduce the pressure on the pound by producing most of the things within the country. And therefore, the pound on its own over time, it will start strengthening. When other people outside the country started demanding goods and services from South Sudan, that's when the foreign currency will start flowing in, but the pound also will strengthen.
Early last week, the value of the South Sudan pound dropped to its lowest level ever against the U.S. dollar. A week ago, the dollar was trading at 450 South Sudanese pounds, but shot up to 700 South Sudanese pounds shortly after the government announced plans to introduce a new currency in an attempt to control inflation. Okumu Bosco, a lecturer of economics at the University of Juba, says South Sudan's economic problems require enforcing the rule of law and restoring stability.
Even if the rule is there, somebody is playing on top of that rule. So making even what should have been done without a serious follow-up cannot be done.
Bosco says security also plays a role, because even if goods are produced locally, you still need to import other goods, and that requires well-maintained roads. In order to rescue the country's economy, Bosco says political leaders should exercise discipline and manage South Sudan's resources in a transparent and accountable manner. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on prices of basic commodities in South Sudan, some families in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, say the cost of living continues to increase as food prices have skyrocketed and transport fares doubled in the last few weeks. Many people in the capital are struggling to stay alive as some see no solution in sight. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Celestina Awate, a 25-year-old mother of two, watches her children play in their Nyakron home as other neighborhood children giggle as they play outside nearby. Children are chasing each other around a compound surrounded in mud after last night's down power. One young boy is lying on the ground near his mother, crying. Awate is cooking the family's dinner using two charcoal stoves. Sitting on a plastic chair, her eyes watery from the smoke coming from the stoves. Awate says these days her family forgoes some meals due to the high cost of food.
Soup day. Can magero jeta bedir day.
If this market does not change as it was before, life will be difficult. We even now don't take tea as usual because the money is little and you cannot manage to provide tea in the morning, lunch and supper.
Awate says she spends more than 5,000 South Sudanese pounds per day to prepare the family's single meal, compared to the past when she would spend about 1,500 pounds to prepare more than two meals. Last week, when the government announced plans to replace the country's currency to stabilize the economy, the South Sudanese pound fell against the dollar again, sparking a steep jump in commodity prices, including food. Several traders in the vegetable section at Juba's customs market just stole for customers. Juba resident Grace Koiti walks by, checking over some of the vegetables, but says prices are too high. She says life is becoming increasingly difficult for most families.
Things have changed. It used to be the greens that used to be with the 10 pounds. Right now, you can buy with the 100, you see. The value for 10 is not longer there. This is what you can see in the market. And you find that if you want to buy like onions, one piece of onion is 100 already, 100 pounds. At the end of the day, you come with the 5,000. The 5,000 will never do anything. If you want to buy like the greens, at least can serve you. But if you want to buy things like meat, meat is raising from... Last week, I bought a goat's meat with 5,000 a kilo. And this one, the cow meat, it is 2,500. And where are we going? Where are we heading?
Another Juba resident, Mawa Samuel Christopher, says his family used to enjoy a fairly comfortable lifestyle before South Sudan's skyrocketing inflation. He blames the country's leaders for failing to improve the country's economy. Christopher believes some South Sudanese leaders do not care about the plight of regular people.
They don't mind that they don't have citizens. And even they are not citizens of this country. For me, I speak direct. Whatever person in position right now, even if he's a president of this country, even if he's a vice president, these people, they don't have their children here. And we, the citizen, the local citizen, who cannot afford to be in Uganda, who cannot afford to be in Khartoum, we are dying because we are feeding their family.
Aside from the skyrocketing food prices, transport fares have also doubled in the past week. Like Christopher, many Juba residents say they are struggling to make ends meet and see no solution in sight. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese hold a peaceful demonstration. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you help someone dealing with depression?
I just give my time to that person and we discuss matter concerning that depression which that person is facing.
First of all, I'll find out what is depressing that person. And when I find out the root cause, of course, I try to advise the person according to what he or she is going through.
By counseling the person through counseling and then sharing ideas. Maybe sometimes going out for football or watching football, movies, such things can also help.
I recommend music, the music therapy. Music therapy in the sense that music has a way of giving a soothing feeling whenever the person listens to music.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. From Juba, we move to the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, where some residents have welcomed the announcement by the U.S. President Donald Trump to remove Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism. Some of the Khartoum residents describe the U.S. announcement as historic. The residents say once Sudan is removed from the list, the country will be able to export some goods to the United States. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
President Trump said Monday Sudan will be removed from the list of countries that sponsor terrorism if Sudan follows through on its pledge to pay $335 million in compensation to the victims of 1998 Al-Qaeda bombings of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The attacks killed more than 220 people in both countries. Trump says the compensation money will be paid to U.S. terror victims and their families. Many Khartoum residents called the announcement a victory for Sudan's revolution. The Sudanese military ousted longtime President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019 under pressure from protesters. The move would pave the way for Sudan to obtain international loans and aid needed to help its ailing economy. Imtinan Sanhuri, a resident of Khartoum's Shabia neighborhood, says 3 decades of Bashir's policies led to Sudan's economic sanction. She says many national developmental projects collapsed due to a shortage in funding or because the government simply could not maintain them.
We had a lot of issues during the sanctions period on developing our national productions projects, such as the National Railway, Al Jazeera Scheme for Agriculture. We expect this decision to improve these fields, and Sudan will really benefit and develop in the coming period.
While she believes lifting Sudan from the list of state sponsors of terrorism is a positive move, Sanhuri remains cautious about the U.S. politics. She says the Trump administration should be serious and fulfill all its promises made to the Sudanese people.
I hope the decision should not be used by the American government to initiate a new political game against Sudan. I don't want to hear about the new demands that would put Sudan to begin a new bargain and appeal for settlement.
Khartoum resident Ali Abdul Sattar also welcomes the announcement, saying it will allow Sudan to benefit from the international investments.
Sudan was banned from any international transaction, banned from all forms of international investments, so no foreign investor could come in and invest in Sudan, to the extent that our own products were not accepted in the international market. Our livestock used to be exported to Egypt and were sold under their local companies. So we have been really affected so much with this sanction.
Omdurman resident Ayat Yusuf Abu Tawila regards the announcement as a great achievement for the transitional government and the people of Sudan. Abu Tawila believes Sudan will benefit from imported modern technology and equipment that will lead to a better service delivery for citizens.
The decision might help a lot of students to get scholarships abroad in countries that had suspended their ties with Sudan during the decades of Bashir's rule. Now, we will be able to import advanced health equipment and our people don't need to travel abroad for treatment anymore.
Sudan's transitional government welcomes the announcement and says it will pay the $335 million compensation. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Today marks the 56th anniversary of the popular protest that overthrew the first military government of General Ibrahim Aboud in 1964 in Sudan. Authorities in Khartoum have closed down bridges connecting the three cities of Khartoum, Omdurman, and Bahri as protesters march on the streets of the capital and other states across the country to commemorate the day and demand better living conditions. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio has more from Washington.
Grassroots groups known as resistance committees, political parties, Sudanese professional associations, and other groups called for today's rallies. Sahar Jizuli is a teacher and member of Al-Kalakla Abu Adam Resistance Committee. She says the demonstrations aim to correct the path of the government and urge political leaders to improve living conditions. She's calling on the government to move quickly and establish a transitional national legislative assembly so that citizens can be fairly represented and oversee the performance of their government.
The aim of this march is to pressure the government to improve living conditions. We in the resistance committee and I as Shahar, I'm waiting for two things. The formation of the National Legislative Assembly after completing the peace process and the arrival of UN troops in Darfur.
In June, the United Nations Security Council issued a resolution to establish a special political mission in Sudan to help with peace implementation and to support Sudan through its transition to democracy. The mission is expected to arrive in January 2021. Sodiq Yusuf is a member of the Sudanese Communist Party Central Committee and member of the ruling coalition known as the Forces for Freedom and Change. He says celebrating October 21st is customary in Sudan, but this year the demonstrators have specific demands to make of their government.
They are demanding urgency to formulate the Legislative Assembly. They are asking for better living conditions. The prices are very high. There is shortage in bread, shortage in fuel, and things like that. They are demanding that. They are demanding to solve the problem, the peace problem, the process of the peace problem to go ahead, especially with Abdelaziz Afriou and Abdelwahid Mohamed Nour, who are still not part of the peace deal, and things like that.
Al-Hilu and Nour factions of Sudanese rebel groups did not sign the Sudan peace deal mediated in Juba. Khartoum-based political commentator Haj Hamad says people, and especially youth, are frustrated by the slow progress of the transitional government and the deteriorating economic situation, which he says is a direct result of the army's control over Sudan's economy.
They consider the situation as sluggish, as being dominated by the military. In fact, the civil government should have led such kind of very strong moves from the beginning to surround the military and compel them to surrender the economy in their hands.
Hamad says today's demonstrations show that Sudanese citizens have learned from previous Sudanese revolutions, one in 1964 and later in 1985, that they need to protect the changes they helped bring about and put constant pressure on the government to do better.
The very, very good structure that is continuum, and this is made a real difference between October, April, is the continuing leadership of the streets to their own revolution. They want to see results. For this reason, they are sustaining the revolution from time to time with such kind of millions of demonstrations. It is always they are very peaceful. They know their way. They select elements already agreed upon to be implemented. Get more fast about eliminating of Lenga's regime, put them to jail, confiscate their wealth, send it back to the people's coffers. These are the major demands.
Authorities in Khartoum have shut down all bridges and major roads leading in and out of major cities and have warned demonstrators that certain elements which support ousted President Omar al-Bashir might use today's demonstrations to cause chaos. Security forces have been deployed across Khartoum to ensure that the demonstrations remain peaceful. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Piaggio in Washington.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Before we end this show, I have a special announcement for you. This program can now be heard in South Sudan at 7:30 local time on VOA affiliate stations. Please inform your friends and relatives. That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Born in Africa by Philly Bongoli. We've been listening to Philly Bongoli with the song Born in Africa. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.